Good morning. Today is Monday, June the 19th. Joining us this morning is the Bank Dude from Redwood Capital, John Dalby. Good morning, sir.
And as always, it is absolutely a pleasure and an honor to be here with you, Brian.
You know, somebody somewhere is thinking you might be serious.
Could happen.
Those of us who know the real story, know. Our quote this morning comes from Charles Gordon. If you tell the truth, you have infinite power supporting you. But if not, you have infinite power against you. Yeah. No kidding.
It was, I'm trying to remember who told me this, but, you know, when you tell lies, how difficult it is, because you have to cover for each lie, you have to remember all the lies you told, as opposed to if you always tell the truth.
Don't have to worry. I think it was more like Mark Twain. He said, you know, if I tell the truth, I don't have to remember who I lied to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, boy, oh, boy. So we made it through the high school season yet again.
Graduations.
Kind of felt like summerish this weekend.
It was a beautiful day Sunday.
Yeah, so we're hoping there's a trend here. Kids are out. Summer is here. What do you got to talk about there? It looks classroom-esque.
Yes, I brought a book that I've used for years with our management group, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the more unusual management techniques and
whips and chains.
Other stockades. Than whips and chains, yeah. Some other than that, yeah. We're past that.
It's kind of interesting, you know, the military-esque style of management. Mm-hmm. Certainly is efficient. Sometimes is more effective than others, but okay. Still exists, still is used, still is practiced, still is supported by an awful lot of folks and desired by a lot of employees, whether it's police, you know, paramilitary, or in the military itself. And now there's all these other options that are out there that have come to exist over the years. How do you determine what's best in a general broad-based sweep style for you, for your type of business, for your culture?
We have to look at what your objectives are, what your resources are, and also a big piece of it is, what is your temperament? What type of person are you and what works for you? So what works for me, what works for Brian, may not work for the person that's listening on the radio. So you have to know that. So you listen. What I do is I look at a lot of different management techniques and styles, and I've created my own eclectic, if you want to call it that, style, in which I take bits and pieces from various people and created mine that fits me.
Cherry picking is, I think, what we call it.
Exactly.
Yeah. How do you know if it's working?
Are you getting the results you wanted? It's very simple.
And we'll try to determine what the results are that we're shooting for when we come back. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19. We shall return with Mr. Dalby.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with John Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank. So, John, management style, just for business owners?
Everything, business owners, nonprofits, every organization has, if there's people involved in it, will have management at some level and in some form. And the question is, what is the most effective management style? So, for instance, you brought up the military. And so as you look at what is the military's objective, and that is to be able to take an order and to execute it, and that order is to kill people and break things. So it
without misinterpretation.
Yes, exactly.
The right things in the right place. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's why it's more, and we use the word militaristic, which really doesn't say anything when you're talking about the military, because that's what it is.
Kind of redundant, but it works.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's why that management style has to be used. Yet, I don't think there's anybody who would say that the military bureaucracy and so forth is efficient. And so does that translate into, you know, the private sector?
So is it more important to be efficient or effective?
Yes.
No. You know what happens when you slip, when you stay, you're on that fence? You don't want to do that one, man.
So I think earlier before the break, you asked me about, you know, what are the objectives, or how do you know if your management is style is working, and that is, are you getting the results that you want? So, for instance, if it's a business, what are the results you're trying to get? Is it to be more efficient, profitable, productive? You know, what are the objectives, and to put those out, and that is what you're trying to manage to. And a lot of times we manage with the idea, and I make this mistake, the biggest mistake I made is when I took my first management position, is, you know, I had revenge in mind, and there were some people that I worked with that I didn't like the way they did things, and so this was my opportunity to be the boss.
Kind of level the playing field, yeah.
And that pretty much blew up in my face, and I learned a very valuable lesson. You know, we learn more from our mistakes than we do our successes. And so I changed my entire approach to that, because my objective was to produce more to get more production out of these people. It wasn't for them to cower to me and do my will. And so
that doesn't work in very many settings.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So a lot of times we lose track of why we're managing people, and what is it exactly that we want them to do and accomplish.
Well, certainly what you start out with often changes. Okay. Is a style something that changes, adapts, evolves, or not?
A manager can't be rigid, because once they do, they lose the flexibility to manage under different circumstances and in different environments. We are in a very rapidly changing environment. And whatever business you're in, technology has probably impacted it substantially. And so we have to be able to adapt to that. And so by being absolutely rigid in our style of management or our techniques, we may corner ourselves to the point where we become obsolete.
But if you go on the other side and you don't stand for anything, and you're always malleable or adjusting or changing, I would think the confusion that would lead to.
Now, we were talking about styles. We weren't talking.
Right.
So you
come in as Hard-Nosed Harry today, and tomorrow you come in as everybody's best friend. What's real?
So what but that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you change who you are. You have to be who you are, and your management style has to be true to your temperament, or otherwise you're going to be very, very frustrated in time. So it'd be, if you're not a hard-nosed person, it's going to be hard for you to be hard-nosed, and you're probably not going to be terribly good at it. But you need to be flexible enough to understand that, gee, today I needed my people to do these things, and so I needed to do this to get that accomplished. Tomorrow, the world changed on me, and now I have a different set of objectives and a different way of accomplishing things. And your management style needs to change with the people and the objectives you have, because you don't manage every person the same.
Sure, somewhat a lot more mentoring. And others say, thank you very much. Make sure the front door is unlocked when I come through it so I don't hurt myself. But other than that, I know what I need to do. Let me know if I'm, you know, off course.
You're going to have employees that are you're very hands-off, which you're just talking about. You know, where here's what I need you to accomplish. You let them go do it, and you don't have to worry about that employee. Other ones you have to watch on a continual basis. Some are motivated by, you know, praise and affirmation. Others need to be disciplined in a different way. You know, some will break down. Other people discipline themselves. I have a lot of employees that when they make a mistake, I have to console them because they're beating themselves up so much.
KINS, News and Information Time, 8:30. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with the bank dude, John Dalby. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. John, management styles permeate the culture. Management of, or the style of the owner, oftentimes, most times, is different than the style of the next level. And then at the foreman level, and then down at the ground level. Healthy?
Absolutely. And in fact, you mentioned a little book that I brought earlier, The Four Obsessions of an Extraordinary Executive by Patrick Lencioni. One of the four obsessions here is exactly that, is having people in your team, that would be your subordinates, that argue and fight, not only with themselves, but with you.
You're saying that's good or bad?
It's absolutely healthy. How many times, is there a major issue in an organization, but nobody wants to talk about it because it's uncomfortable to talk about conflict? And so it's extremely healthy. I had an incident, for instance, with a subordinate that we, in a meeting, actually were yelling at each other. And afterwards, about an hour later, I called.
Personals or about the issue?
About the issue, yeah.
Gunfire was not exchanged.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. I mean, this is not attacking the person. This is passionately talking about what is important to you. And your frustrations could be with the actions of the other person. But, but the point being is that I called him about an hour ago, and he was expecting me to fire him. And I said, that was probably the health.
An hour ago?
Hour after our exchange. I said, no, I would say that's the healthiest exchange we've ever had. You needed to get those things on the table. I needed to get my things on the table. We got them on the table, and now we're dealing with them. That's healthy. And so you should encourage, if you're in management, encourage those people that are subordinates to be able to challenge you and to do so in a way that you encourage it, because you're bringing their problems to the table. And as a manager, and of course I take a servant management position, and that is my job to serve those people that are below me and to help them to succeed, because that's what I want. I want them, that's my objective, is for them to succeed at their appointed duties.
Arguing versus grenade lobbing. I would imagine if in that scenario, let's say it was me, all it was a complaining session. I was just pointing things out. Had no solutions, just issues. Is that as productive as, hey, John, I got some issues. Bing, here's how I think, here's a possible and deal with ways to address those situations also as part of that meeting. Is that combining two different events, or so, is that wrong?
So look at your objective. So yes, I would prefer that if somebody has a problem, they come with a solution.
Or possible solution.
Correct.
Yeah.
But if I have a subordinate that's complaining about a myriad of items, okay, you got to listen to those items. And in your mind, you need to say, are they valid? Okay. Are they material? And now can we discuss what the solutions are? Because my objective is for them to be successful at their job. And if they are frustrated with circumstances that keep them from completing their tasks, I need that information. Now, if they're just whining about things that shouldn't matter, then maybe I have the wrong person in that position.
So it's not an unloading session.
You know, you can unload on me, that's fine. You know, there's feel-its and fix-its. You know, sometimes somebody just needs to vent, and it's a feel-it. They just want you to feel it. Happens a lot with your relationship with your spouse is that they come in and they unload on you. Well, are they wanting you just to feel it, or do they really want you to fix it? So it's important that people have an opportunity to vent, and you need to be that safe place for them to vent. But also, you are gathering important information. Are there obstacles keeping them from succeeding at their job? Because isn't that what you want them to do, is succeed? Listening to those obstacles, and if there are ways to fix them, well, why not fix them and make it easier for them to succeed?
Is that an attitude that's easy for superiors to embrace, whether it's the owner, the ultimate, or people in the structure?
The hardest part is setting your ego aside. Because, you know, a lot of times we go, I'm the boss. And, you know, if your attitude is I'm the boss and you're going to do it my way or the highway, you know, that works to some degree, but you are limiting the number of people that can work for you.
Or, and you might not be hiring. Or perhaps specific situations rather than all the time.
Now, there are absolutes in life. I mean, it's like, for me, you don't violate the law. Period.
Okay. Jeez, we weren't even talking about banking marijuana.
Yeah, exactly.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with the bank dude. John, management style in a private business, you have certain degrees of flexibility. Okay. In a nonprofit, you're dealing with the board, so perhaps, you know, it's, things are influenced and flavored a little bit differently. In the government sector, it can either be the wild, wild west, if you're an appointed, or it could even be more limiting if you are an elected. Are there variables that are recognized in the various styles, not based on who you are, but based on what and what your organization is?
So one of the things that I would say, one of the greatest challenges and one of the greatest failures in organizations, generally the ones with transitory boards. And what I mean by that is a board that you know, somebody is elected onto a board for anywhere from 1 to 3 years.
Chamber boards are renowned for that.
Yeah, chamber boards, you know, a lot of your private clubs, nonprofits, you know, where people are on a board for a relatively short period of time. And especially when you have a different, you know, board chair or president of that organization every year, the problem, the thing you start to lose is continuity. And so, you know, for instance, in our organization, the board of directors is supposed to have the fiduciary responsibility to maximize the wealth of the shareholders. At the same time, we also see a commitment to the community as part of our charge. With that said, the best way for them to do that is to hire a CEO and have that CEO successful. So their job really is to make the CEO successful. And you know, you look at the results and that tells you whether it's happening. What happens is we have managers for organizations, but the board and the president is a new one every year. And sometimes they try and change the organization rather than managing it through the person they've hired, the professional, and supporting that person. And you can see, you know, organizations, you know, that have these transitory boards and transitory presidents and chairmen, you can see them just kind of going all over the road. I mean, it's, you know, one year they're going this direction, next year they're going that direction. And if you don't compound, you know, by going the same direction for multiple years, it's hard to accomplish significant things. And so that's one of the bigger challenges for those types of organizations. You don't see that so much in the private sector because, you know, generally you have boards that have ownership and they are there longer term, and so you have a more consistent direction.
So if you've got an organization that you're associated with that has this high turnover leadership board, are there ways to mitigate that? You lower your head and just, you know, ask for nuances? Or you just realize you're not going to be that efficient in an organization?
It's as simple as this. You've hired somebody to manage the organization. The board, the president, the chairman should be there to support that person and to hold them accountable for their results.
Thanks for coming by. We're being held accountable to our timing results. See everybody tomorrow.